أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Continuing with our look at the life of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, we stopped when he was 45, where he had recommended for a group of his followers, because of the persecution, to go to Abyssinia or Ethiopia. And we find that the Quraysh had sent a deputation to get them back, but were unsuccessful. It was also the year in which his daughter, Sayyida Fatimatu Zahra alayhi salam, was born, and an occasion of great joy for him. Now, persecution increased after the pride of the Quraysh was wounded by King Najashi. But Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet, who everybody in Makkah was in awe of, accepted Islam and protected Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by opposing the gods of the Quraysh. Now, this was a great victory for Islam, because it meant that there was someone there whom they looked up to who had accepted Islam. They didn't know what to do. So in the first instance, they raised a reward for one who killed Muhammad. So they could, because they could not publicly kill him, because of the prestige of Abu Talib. And it was Abu Jahl who was the uncle who raised this reward of 100 camels or 1,000 ounces of gold. The Quraysh sent people to negotiate with the Prophet. They sent Utbah, the father-in-law of Abu Sufyan, to reason with Muhammad. And he comes up to the Prophet and he says, Muhammad, what do you want? Do you want wealth? Do you want position? Do you want women? We will give you all the wealth of Arabia. We will make you the chief of the Arabs. We will give you any woman you want. And the Prophet stood in his grounds and said, no, I do not want anything. When he refused to accept, they sent a deputation to Abu Talib to persuade his nephew Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to change. When Abu Talib called Muhammad and said, they have visited me, Muhammad said, if they place the sun in my right hand and the moon on my left, I will not leave my mission until God makes his cause manifest, or I perish in my attempt. Awesome words. Frustrated. Absolutely frustrated, a boycott was implemented. Now, this boycott was signed by 40 chiefs and hung on the Kaaba. It was written by Mansur ibn Ikrimah, and it was signed by these 40, except one, Mu'tim ibn Adi, who said that was unjust. Now, the boycott said that nobody was to trade with the families of Hashim and Muttalib, nor marry them, nor have contact with them, until they handed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam over to the Quraysh. Abu Talib had no alternate but to take them to the valley which he owned, which was called Shibi Abi Talib, and this was near Mount Hajun. For 3 years they lived there, only coming out in the months of Rajab and Dhul-Hijjah, when any sort of violence, or Dhul-Qa'dah, when any sort of violence was taboo. Sympathizers used to sneak food to them under the cover of night. Abu Talib used to awaken the Prophet after everybody had gone to sleep, and he would change the Prophet's sleeping place with one of his sons in case there was an attack. This was the way the Prophet was protected by Abu Talib and his sons, and they lived in this valley. They suffered in this valley for 3 long years. At the age of 49, one day the Prophet ﷺ comes to Abu Talib and he says, "Oh, my uncle, the boycott agreement written by the Quraysh has been eaten up by insects and there is no writing left except the name of Allah." Immediately Abu Talib went to the Kaaba where the Quraysh were gathered and he said, "My son says that the agreement which you have written has been eaten by insects and nothing remains except the name of Allah. If he is right, then you must end your injustice. And if it is wrong, then we will admit that you were right and we were wrong." There was a commotion amongst the Quraysh. The agreement was opened and nothing was left on there except the name of Allah. The boycott was lifted. Abu Talib's voice thundered out, condemning them for their tyranny and their injustice. Within 9 months of the boycott ending, his greatest protectors, those who loved him more than anybody else, died. Abu Talib died at the age of 87, and shortly afterwards, the love of his life, his soulmate, whom he was married to for 26 years, Khadija, died at the age of 53. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so grieved that he called the year Amul Huzn, the year of sorrow. He put on black clothes, as was the Arab custom of grieving.
Now, with the death of his protectors, the Quraysh increased their persecution. We find a mention of Khadija and Abu Talib within the verses of the Quran in Surah Al-Dhuha, Surah number 93. If you look at Ayah 6-8, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions the Prophet and he says, Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa. Did we not find you an orphan and we gave you protection? In Ayah 8, Allah says, Wa wajadaka aylan fa'aghna. Did we not find you in need and we made you rich? Who protected him when he was an orphan? It was Abu Talib. Who protected him, or who enriched him, or who enriched Islam for that matter, when it needed, it was the wealth of Sayyidah Khadija, for she handed that all over to him for the propagation of the faith. So awesome people, and he lost them at the age of 50, one of the saddest moments of his life. Now we find that persecution obviously increases. And finding that the Makkans turned a deaf ear to him, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the sister city of Taif to the south with his adopted son Zayd, thinking that they too might listen to what he had to say. But although when he went, they welcomed him, they drove him out, pelting him with stones. On his way back, a party of jinn heard him reciting Quran in Salatul Fajr. I was in the depth of the night in what is known as the Valley of the Jinn, and they accepted Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the opening verses of Suratul Jinn. The incident of them listening is also mentioned in Suratul Ahqaf. This is Surah number 46, Ayah 29. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفْرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمَّا حَذَرُهُ قَالُوا أَنْصِتُوا فَلَمَّا قُذِيَ وَلَّوْا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ. And when we turned towards you, a party of the jinn, who listened to the Qur'an, so when they came back to it, when they came to it, they said, be silent, listen. Then when it was finished, they turned back to their people as warners. In Suratul Jinn, which is Surah number 72, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أوحي إلي أنه استمع نفر من الجن فقالوا إنا سمعنا قرآنا عجبا. Say, it has been revealed to me that a party of the jinn listened and they said, surely we have heard a wonderful Qur'an. يهدي إلى الرشد فآمنا به ولن نشرك بربنا أحدا. Guiding on the right way, so we believe in it and we will not set up anyone with your Rabb. Awesome experience. The Prophet ﷺ is very sad at the way he was treated in Taif. He raises his hands in dua and he says, Oh Allah, I make my complaint to you regarding the feebleness of my strength. I seek refuge in the light of your existence by which darkness is dispersed. When they return back, he goes to the cave of Hira. Zayd goes to town to Makkah to find some protector. And the man who refused to sign the boycott, Mu'tim ibn Adi, went to the cave. He got Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam out and he escorted him to his house. And it was here that the Prophet lived. He did not leave except in the sacred months when fighting was banned. This was the months of Muharram, Rajab, Dhul-Qa'dah and Dhul-Hijjah. Now we've come to a stage where the Prophet is 50 years old. Inshallah, we will look further. We will go now beyond and we'll find how, although the Makkans in Makkah were persecuting the Prophet and not accepting his message, how the words had gone out to the towns beyond.
رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.